So close our eyes. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. Abba, Father, is what we cry. Let's all just do that right now. Abba, Father. And just receive the love of the Father this morning. And I just really sense that some of you are going to leave this morning here with just a weight lifted off of you. Because He is a good God. He lifts us up. He encourages us. He goes before us. He covers our back. He knows what we have need of. He holds us up. His promise is secure. He knows everything about us. He always has, He already has it planned out for us. So this day, Lord, we rest in that goodness. We rest and we say, Abba, Father, Papa God, we thank you. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for this day, for gathering us together and for this opportunity to give you praise. So for the next 30 seconds, Gateway, let's just give him honor and praise with everything you have. Loving the Lord with all you have, all your mind, all your soul, all your spirit. Loving the Lord for his goodness. He's our Father. Yes. We celebrate him today. We celebrate the Father God in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Give your neighbor a high five, low five, side five, whatever five is close by. Let's give a shout out to the band here this morning. That was just great. All you guys, come on, we can do better than that. Let's give a shout out to the worship team this morning. Amen. Amen, amen. Hey, I want to just recognize some guys before we get into the word this morning. Yesterday, a team of us went out and helped the Advent Women's House move. And so I see David Matheson, David Cobb, my son over here. Guys, stand up real quick. And then is Tom Nowinski here? Where's Tom? Tom, I know Kenny Chow's here. Let's give it up to these guys here. Come on, helping this house move. And it's a lot of work yesterday. So the Advent Women's Home is a real strong ministry for ladies. And you've heard a little bit about it. You'll hear more about it. We're going to be partnering with them more in the future. So God bless you for that. Hey, listen, get your notes. We got some work to do today. Everybody get your notes on the seats, okay? Those are your handouts over in the cafe. Make sure you grab your notes. And then also last week, Pastor David, whom we are praying for today, I think he may be done by now. He's in Modesto. Pray that he has a safe ride home, amen? Also, we showed you this Let's Go card. If you don't have one, there should be one in the seat pocket in front of you. If you brought yours from last week, this is in my Bible, so I got this from last week. I got some names written on it, but pull this out because we're going to refer back to this throughout this morning's message here. So we got those two things going, and we got more to tell you at the very end as well. So Pastor David last week launched a real short mini series called Let's Go. Everybody say Let's Go. Because what we're doing is we're leading up to Resurrection Sunday, which is in 2 weeks. The most well-attended church services around the world every year. That's the one service. And so here coming up here in a couple of weeks, there's going to be people that are going to be wanting to come to a church. And some people know about Gateway. Some people have never heard of Gateway. But I want you to look around at the empty seats. I think, Pastor John, that God has got somebody that he wants to sit right here that has never been to Gateway before that needs Christ, needs transformation. So look around because we got some work to do over the next couple of weeks, and that has to do with going out and seeing people that need Christ and then just inviting them to come to the house of God. So Pastor David last week talked about these four guys out of Mark's gospel that picked up this lame man and they carried him to this house where Jesus was. The place was packed. So you know the story. They went up on the roof, they tore the roof open, and they put the guy right down in the middle of it. Now that'd be kind of, you know, don't do that at Gateway, okay? I mean, here's Pastor Brad sitting here all nice and comfortable, and all of a sudden, you know, the shingles start falling on his head. He might get hurt. So don't do that at Gateway. But these guys, they took it upon themselves. They knew something was going to happen if they got this lame man in front of Jesus. And Rudy, you know it, if you get somebody here into the presence of God, something's going to change, amen? The presence of God can change a person and bring transformation and bring whatever needs you have. Now, there's three areas that Pastor David covered last week regarding this whole transition of this guy coming before Jesus. Number one was that these guys were bringing connection, that connected with this guy that needed Christ and needed healing. And number two, they set up, and I mean, they were ready to do a breakthrough within this man's life. They were working out all the details so that breakthrough can be experienced. And then number three, transformation took place. So the guy was forgiven, he was healed, and he walked up. And I've always wondered, you know, they couldn't get in the house because it was packed, right? And then Jesus says, take up your mat and walk. Now, how is this guy going to get out of the house if it's packed? Unless there's a God of breakthrough somewhere around that just kind of parted the Red Sea so the guy could walk through. Amen. I don't know. I think about things like that. How did this work? How did this happen? You know, but God brought a transformation in this guy's life. Now, how many know that desperate times call for desperate measures? So that was a desperate situation where this guy needed to get into the presence of Christ. And a couple of his buddies said, let's go get this guy and get him into the presence of Christ. Now, they worked that out and God wrought a miracle, but there's some things you don't want to do, okay? For example, I'm going to talk about a couple of snafus that my wife and I experienced over the years. I first got saved back in 1976, and my buddy Mark, we said, let's go to the mall and let's go witnessing for Christ. I said, what's witnessing? They said, it's when you tell other people about Christ. I said, okay, let's go. So he said, let me go first. So we go to the mall, and here's Mark. He's in front of me, and he walks out into this big area, and he walks right up to this couple, Pastor John, and he says, and this is exactly what he does. He stands there, and he does this. He smiles, puts his arms out. The couple stands back. I stand back. Like, who's this guy? And then Mark says, can't you see? The glory of God's all over me. And I'm thinking, I don't know him. I really don't know him. I don't know him. The other couple walked away. Now, don't do that, okay? Don't do that. Does not work really well, okay? So don't go to the mall and do whatever. Don't get weird. Now, back in 1978, I remember I heard a preacher. He's walking along the sidewalk at night. He looked across the street. There was a drunkard that came out of the bar walking down, and this preacher yelled out at the top of his lungs, hey, sinner! You don't need to sin anymore. The guy dropped to his knees and he received Christ. I said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to try that. Jesse, I'm going to try that. Okay, so famous last words. So we're up at, my wife and I went to college in Chico. We had a coffee tea shop, and I walk out late at night, and across the street there was a guy walking, and I said, here's my opportunity. Let's see if this thing works. So what did I do? Hey, sinner, you don't have to sin anymore. Well, let's just say it didn't work out the way that this guy said on the tape recorder, because the guy proceeded to tell me I was number one with his middle finger, and the court. Yeah, he used the name of Jesus, but not in the way. So don't do that. Don't do that. You know, when you're inviting somebody to Gateway, you don't need to do that. Or worse, there was a guy that came out of Folsom, Giuseppe, that Folsom Prison, right? He comes to church. And he receives Christ. And this guy's kind of rough around the edges still. And now back in the college days, we used to go to the city park and go out and just pass out tracts and share with people about Christ. Okay, so we invited this guy who's only known the Lord for 2 weeks, Steve, and right out of Folsom Prison, right? So we go out there, and my wife and I are on one side of the park sharing Christ, and then we heard screaming and yelling on the other side. And we look over there, and here's this guy on top of somebody else. Bam, bam, bam. And I run over. He's beating him up. I said, what are you doing? He said, the guy wouldn't receive Christ. I said, no. That's not, okay, wait, don't do that. Don't do that. When we talk about let's go, don't go yelling and screaming. Don't go glowing in the dark at a mall. Don't go beating people up. Now, you see, because the thing that we missed was number two here, what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about let's go, but let's go and let's start on our knees. I'm going to talk about prayer for a little while this morning, because how many know that everything begins and ends with prayer? Amen? How many know you can make tremendous headway in let's going by starting on your knees first and letting the Lord do what only He can do? Amen? So when we talk about prayer, it's a really broad subject, but I want to start off with the prophet Daniel, We're going to show some scriptures up on the wall here of Daniel, and we're going to just use him as a starting point, because I really want to encourage you in your prayer life. So many of you have been discouraged in praying. Some of you have not seen a lot of results in praying. But the whole purpose here this morning is if we can catch a glimpse of the power and the authority and what prayer can do, then we'll see some major shifts take place in people's lives. Amen? So here's, look at Daniel. Daniel, a prophet in the Old Testament, he's exiled to Babylon. He knows from Jeremiah the prophet that there's a certain time frame where God was going to bring back Israel. So he has this promise, and he starts to go before the Lord. And what we see here in this narrative is that as he began to pray, an angel was sent by God, and there was a spiritual battle that took place over this territory. We don't know much about it, how this works. We just know that when Daniel began to pray, there was a time element that went by, and there was something going on in the spiritual realm that he didn't see. And that's the same thing for you and I. We pray, but many times we don't see immediate results. But how many know things are happening when you pray? Things are happening. Things are shifting already when you pray. Now, let's look at Daniel here. In those days, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. Then he, the angel, said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day," everybody say first day, not the second day, not the third day. How many know God hears you right when you start to pray? Amen? "From the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard." Now watch this next phrase. "I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael came to help me." Everybody here, look at me here. Something happened, David Smith. Something happened where he began to pray, and on the very first day, he didn't know it, but angels are dispatched when? When his words were heard. There was not a time element. Let's wait and see, if this is going to work. You know, the angel says here, he says, "Listen, Daniel, there was something going on in the atmosphere where there was a spiritual warfare taking place, and Michael came to help me, and we had a breakthrough." But I want you to know, this angel says here, "From the day that you heard, the first day, I heard your words. I have come because of your words." Let that sink in. Because God wants to hear your words. God wants to hear your cry. God wants to hear your prayer. And God wants to respond to your words when you pray. There's something about in the economy of the kingdom of God where God has designed prayer, whereby the kingdom of God can penetrate in and change and alter and invade darkness, et cetera, et cetera. He says, "I come because of your words." And so there's a power and there's a purpose in prayer here. In fact, I got 4 spiritual truths here I want to read real quickly here to the results of prayer. Number one, your prayer has greater impact on others than you realize. Steve Wilson, you've got prayers that are still hanging on people's lives out in the balance in the spiritual realm that are yet to be coming to pass. Don't give up on those. Your prayers have greater impact. Number two, your prayers can push back darkness over your friends and family. Number three, your prayers can unlock the power of God over a person's life. Number four, the battle for your friends and relatives is what? One on your knees. How many here today, raise your hand, you got a need in your life, or you have somebody else that has a need in their life? Come on, raise your hands. If you have something that's your prayer about, the battle is won on your knees. Amen? You see, the Bible, Peter tells us his eyes are over the righteous, and his ear is open unto your prayer. Proverbs 15 says he delights in the prayer of the upright. Isaiah says, "Before you call, I will answer. I will be very gracious to you at the voice of your cry." In fact, Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Your Father knows what things you need of even before you ask." And so the whole exhortation throughout Scripture is God wanting to join with the people, whereby we understand the power of prayer, and not to minimize the power of prayer, but to stand in that gap. Know many times that there's spiritual warfare going on and other things that God's orchestrating and working out. But behind the scenes here, we know that as we go to our knees, the battle is won right there, the beginning and the end right there. Amen? So settle down on that here today. Did you know your prayer can literally change the eternal destiny of another person's life? Think about the people that you know, your family, your friends, loved ones, people that need Christ. David and Mary Smith, you got a sister. Your prayers can make a difference where you can extend your hand in Jesus' name and see that woman, your sister Mary, see a deliverance and see a healing. Don't minimize your prayers. Stand in the gap and believe God to see what he can do. So that's where we're going here this morning. Okay, what I want to do is talk about three things that can happen when you go to your knees, and let's go on our knees. Number one is that you join with Jesus' present day ministry. You join with Jesus, the very first thing, when you go to prayer, you join with Jesus in his present day ministry. Did you know Jesus is still ministering? A lot of people think that, you know, he died, rose again, and ascended, and he's off somewhere doing whatever. But no, friends, he's busier now than when he was walking the shores of Galilee. Did you know that? He's very active. Oh, did you know, on average, studies showing about 175,000 people are receiving Christ every day. And before the sun goes down over here in this valley here, thousands of people are coming. He's busy. Jesus is working. He's opening blind eyes. He's doing amazing things around the world. He's active, sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's watching. It's amazing because he can meet all of our needs and do it simultaneously. Bam. Because of who he is. He knows everything about us. How does that work? He's God. He knows all the details. And he says, will you guys join with me? Because here's the scripture. I want to read this. Hebrews 7:25. So he is able to save fully from now throughout eternity everyone who comes to God through him, because he lives to pray continually for them. Do you stop and think about your needs, others' needs? What is Jesus doing? He's praying for him. He's working. He's active. He's interceding. Now, we don't know all the details in the courts of heaven of how this works. We got insight into scripture. In fact, I want to show one verse that we want to come into agreement with Jesus on today, here in a few minutes. And this is this prayer that Jesus prayed at the Last Supper. So in John 17, you have this whole narrative of Jesus' prayer hours before he goes to the cross. And there's one verse here, if you throw it up on the screen here, John 17, 24, Jesus said, Father, I ask that you allow everyone that you have given to me to be with me where I am. Now, how many know Jesus batted 1,000 with his prayer? You never see Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount going, well, I guess I missed that, and I guess that doesn't work. I guess my Father, you never see that. Every prayer that Jesus prayed was answered. And he's still saying this prayer. He says, Father, I want everybody that you have coming to me, I want them to be with me. How many know, as a father or a mother, if you got a lost child, there's a longing for relationship, and there's something in the heart of our Father that says, I want my people to be with me. I want my children, those that I gave my life for, I want them to be with me. And so what we have here this morning, everybody grab your card, you pull out your card and whatever. Now on my card, I've got my brother Nelson, I've got Bob, and I've got Steve. Steve lives down the street from me. Steve runs whenever I show up, and he doesn't want to see because something's going on. But I'm praying for him. But look at this next verse here, or this next slide here. This is a simple prayer that we want to pray here this morning. In fact, let's pray this out loud, and let's fill in the line there with the name of anybody you know that doesn't know Christ. Ready? Lord, draw my brother Nelson, whomever, to you that they too would be with you. Now, that's a very simple prayer, but how many know there's enough power in that verse to cause people to come to know Jesus Christ? Amen? That's the power. That's the prayer of Jesus, and we're basically coming into an agreement with it. And basically, that's what all throughout Isaiah, many places in the Old Testament, God says he was looking for a people who would stand in the gap. In the Hebrew term for intercession, paga, means to join two together. So the Father God, his hand is extended so that we grab the hand of somebody else and we bring them together. That's what we're doing in intercessory prayer. That's what we're doing when we say, Lord, I ask that you draw. In fact, this is like with my brother Nelson. I say, Lord, draw Nelson to you because I believe you want him to be with you. That's a very simple prayer, but how many know that when you begin to pray that prayer, things begin to shift, things begin to alter, things begin to be released from heaven? And so that's one of the areas here that we want to talk about when we say, let's go on our knees. Amen? Number two is that you push back spiritual darkness over people's lives. You push back spiritual darkness over people's lives. Now, I got a couple of verses I want to read through quickly because I want to lay a foundation. Most of us here are very well aware of the spiritual warfare that is out there in regards to the spiritual realm. Okay, so Ephesians 2 here says, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the power of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. And so we see, and you and I used to be a part of that, and when a person doesn't know God, they're under the influence of the powers of darkness based upon this scripture here. That's why you might have a boss at work that's demonized or whatever, that crazy aunt or whatever, because there's something else going on inside their lives. How many know a lot of people have oppression over their lives? I had one guy one time, Jonathan, he came in one time and he says, I'm going to quit his work. I said, why? Well, I'm being persecuted. I said, no. You go back there and you walk into that building and you say, Jesus is Lord here. And you begin to look for opportunities and you declare his kingdom and you take authority over darkness. And within 2 weeks, he led 3 people to the Lord right there in his work, because he had a shift in his thinking and his outlook regarding some of the spiritual warfare. Look at the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. How many people here know that many times when you're talking or you're sharing with a loved one, it's kind of like a fog over their eyes. There's just blindness, okay? And they can't see. Why? Because there's something interfering. It's spiritual darkness under the influence. And how many know your prayer has tremendous impact to change that? Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I'm going to read this here, but look at the power and the authority that you have in Jesus' name. Jesus said, now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. My wife's grandmother fled from my wife's mother and her grandmother. They fled from the Russians during World War II. They lost everything they had twice. They were refugees in northern Germany, lived in a hayloft for a couple of years. And it's a real amazing story of how God saved and delivered, etc. That's for another time. But my wife and I were up visiting her years ago up in Oregon. She's passed away with Jesus now. But she was about 94 years old, and she had a little mobile home. So my wife and I were staying in one room, and she stayed in the next room, and the walls were really thin. And I'm asleep, Jesse, at like 11, 11:30 at night, and all of a sudden I heard this groaning, and I heard this travailing, and I'm thinking, what? Is she in pain? What? I heard this deep, thick German accent coming out of this old warrior, 94 years old. And she was, and then every once in a while I would hear a name and then back into this deep German accent. And she, it was not no patty cake prayer. She was engaged in spiritual warfare. And I'm thinking, my God, no wonder my wife, her sisters, her mom and dad, her uncles, everybody in the family has come to know Jesus Christ. Everybody, they've all come to know Christ. And it's an amazing testimony. And I can see it all because of somebody taking it upon themselves. How many know that there's some grandmas off in some prayer closets around we will never know about? We will not know their names. But one day in glory, we will find out that they're the true warriors that have stood in the gap for people, taking authority over. I mean, if you got a loved one, if you've got that has got drug, alcohol, any kind of behavior that's not right, you have authority. We have, not over the person's will, but we have authority where we can speak in Jesus' name in our homes, our neighborhoods. We can change the atmosphere. Jesus told us. He said, guys, I want you to pray. My kingdom come, his kingdom be done. Amen? And so wherever you go, Ron, you can go into the companies next week, wherever you go. You travel around quite a bit. You walk in, you say, Jesus come, kingdom come. kingdom come. And wherever you are at, you can alter the atmosphere through your intercessory prayer over spiritual darkness. Amen? So let's pray this prayer. Everybody, grab your Let's Go card, and let's pray this prayer here. Ready? Lord, I take authority over and rebuke any spirits of darkness over whomever, so they would see the glorious light of the good news. And so when we pray this prayer, we are engaging darkness, we're commanding it to push back, and we can see the hand of God. It's just like Joanne Gallagher, who used to come here to Gateway years ago. She got a job, I think I've shared this before, she got a job as a receptionist at a company where they had five witches. I mean, they had the ball cap, the teacup, the whole thing. I mean, the posters, they were, I mean, hardcore. And they tried to get her fired within the first week because Joanne came in and put her Bible on her desk. And so Joanne goes home and, you know, cries out to God, "Ow, what did you put me here for?" And God says, "No, I have you on assignment." And so she knows what to do. She goes back on her knees, begins to intercede and pray. Within about 6 months, three of them received Christ. The other two got fired. I'm talking about a complete alteration of the spiritual atmosphere because somebody knew how to engage in darkness. So here's our assignment, Gateway. Whoever names you write down, we need to go into prayer. Let's go on our knees and begin to intercede for them and push back darkness over their lives so that fog over their eyes can be lifted and then they can come to Christ. One time at a Bible school, we taught these same principles. And so we were praying for one member's brother down in Fresno over some addictions and some things in his life. And we began to engage on a Tuesday night in intercessory prayer in this manner. The woman goes home and she has a answering machine back then. And the brother that she was praying for called. Now he hadn't called in a couple of years, but she saw the time when he called was within minutes after when we prayed. And he says, I need to talk to you about God. I need to give my life to God. My life is messed up. See, what happened was there was something that took place where the fog was lifted and the light of God's grace was being able to be imparted to him. Amen? You got it? All right. Number three, you release the power of the Holy Spirit to do his work. Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. How many know that God wants to pour out his spirit upon the 2 million people here in the South Bay? How about the whole Bay Area? How about the state of California? I mean, is this true? Is this promise? Is this power? Is there power behind this promise? Will God fulfill what he says he'll do? So if that's the case, then let's go over to John's gospel and let's look at one of the verses there. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, what is he going to do? So let's get some insight here because this is an area that we can release the power of God over a person's life. John 16:8, when the Helper comes, he will prove to the people of the world the truth about sin, about being right with God, and about judgment. So go to the next slide and let's look at three things that Jesus said is the role, the task, the assignment, and the job of the Holy Spirit. You see, let me let you in on something here. We're not the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we try to play the Holy Spirit, getting into people's lives. You need to get right with God and whatever. As compared to when the Holy Spirit's poured out, what does he say here? He's going to convince and prove to the world the truth about sin, being right with God, and the judgment to come. Now, what happens many times is all we need to do is to begin to pray, Lord, pour out your spirit upon whomever. And then he begins to work in these three areas in that person's life. And have you ever started praying for somebody, all of a sudden they get worse? Because something's going on. It's like so dealing with sin. In fact, Jesus said, if I had not come and told you guys about it, there would be no sin. You know, it's when people start to say, this is not right. And when the Holy Spirit begins to, you know, tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, the way you're treating your wife is not kind of good. And all of a sudden that conviction comes. or the Holy Spirit begins to talk to them about being right with God. People that are away, hey, we got Resurrection Sunday. You got to come to church. No, I'm going to go fishing on Resurrection Sunday. And between now and then, all of a sudden, there's this voice. There's this sense. It's the Holy Spirit saying, dude, you need to get right with God. You need to get right. You need to come back, right? It's the Holy Spirit working. And then lastly here, the judgment to come. So, you know, you look at these three areas here, and one of our tasks is to say, basically, Lord, pour out your Spirit. Zechariah says, let it rain in the day of the latter rain. God wants to pour out his Spirit. We join in with him in intercession on our knees, and we just say, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon our family, our friends. In fact, let's pray this prayer, this last prayer here up on the screen here. Lord Jesus, let's pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, please work in Bob and Steve, et cetera, their life to draw them to you, to reveal who you are and how they too can be set free to live eternally with you. I had a guy come one time who was trying out a cocaine and came into my office. His sister brought him. And this guy had never seen a Bible in his life. He had never been to a church in his life. And the more he talked, the more I figured out, you know what? I don't know what to say. He had no concept of God. He had no concept. Because usually you start to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ or God or something, you know, that maybe they've been through, you know, church when they were young or whatever. But this guy was zero. So I didn't know where to start. And so what I did, now watch this. This is the Holy Spirit. I took my Bible and opened it up to John 3:16, very familiar verse. And I turned it around and I said to this guy, hey, just read this. This is a Bible, and I'll explain what this is here sometime, but just start here. Let's start here. Just read this. So here's this guy. He had never seen a Bible in his life. He began to read, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He broke down in tears, put his head on the table, and began to sob like a baby. And within a couple of minutes, I led him in prayer to receive Jesus Christ. He had no theological basis as to what was happening other than that I know and he knows that his life was transformed. I mean, just like that. How many know God can use half a verse to transform a life? Amen? How many know there's enough power in the Word of God to transform a life, to heal the sick, to make a difference in somebody's life? And all we need to do is get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do what he's very, very good at. So our prayer is, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon our friends, our relatives. We take authority over darkness, over their lives. And then, Lord, we want to just see them drawn to you. My friends, those are three prayer points that as we engage in over the next couple of weeks, I believe that there's going to be somebody sitting around in this front row up here who's never, maybe they've never seen a Bible before, but they're sitting here, maybe sitting some of these chairs here, and maybe they're on drugs, maybe they're alcoholics, maybe their life is a wreck, maybe there's whatever, but God can change their life, amen? That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for, is to inspire, transform lives. When I was 11 years old, my brother was 12, and we were raised as good Catholics, and my brother went to confirmation. Now, confirmation in the Catholic Church is when the Holy Spirit is supposed to come upon you, etc. And the bishop comes into town with all the regalia, etc. He's got the ring, you know, and he kissed the ring, etc. But as things proceeded during that confirmation mass, this bishop preached to me the most profound sermon I've even heard, even as of today. And I want to throw up on the screen here what he said. And this is our prayer here and encouragement for every one of us here today. He said, don't go to heaven alone. Take somebody with you. So here's this young 11-year-old kid. I have never forgotten that. And that is our prayer here today. Don't come to Resurrection Sunday alone. Bring somebody with you. And that's what we're talking about. Let's go. In fact, there's one other prayer that we want to pray here this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just wonder if you were like me years ago. I did not know if I was to die, if I would be with Jesus, or I would be eternally lost. I did not know. And I used to cry myself to sleep at night as a little boy because I did not know that. But here's what Jesus said. I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens the door, I will come in. And whoever calls upon the Lord he will have eternal life given to him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, Father, I just thank you that, in fact, let's just pray right now. Everybody begin to pray that, Lord, there are some here in this room here this afternoon that have never come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord, that don't know what their future is like. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, that you pour out your grace upon them and give them the courage to be able to say, I want to know Jesus Christ as well. If that's you, raise your hand this morning here all throughout this congregation and say, I want to know Jesus. I want to give my life to him. I want to serve him, and I want to know him and have eternal life. I know that there's several of you out there, and I encourage you just to raise your hand and say, yes, I want to know Jesus Christ, and I want to know that he's come to save me and to give me eternal life, to forgive my sins. So, Father, I just thank you. In fact, let's all just pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for washing me of every sin. And thank you for giving me eternal life. And this day, I turn my life over to you. And in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to know you. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. We're going to receive the offering now and also encourage our prayer teams to come up to the front. If you have need of prayer for anything in your life, like healing, or you want to come into agreement with anybody, we're going to give you some time to have some prayer with some of the leaders up here in the front. But let's have the ushers come up. We'll wait upon the people to be able to give offerings. So, Father, this day we thank you for the opportunity to give an offering and to honor you with our tithes, to honor you, Jesus, with your grace, and to honor you, Lord God, that you're a faithful God who, Lord, meets every one of our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
We're going to sing that song, Good, Good Father, again, and just believe that the Father's love is going to permeate our friends and our family. Thank you for that word, Pastor Chris. We're fired up, Lord God. We're ready to invite our friends and family to the kingdom of God. Let's sing. I've heard a thousand stories. And I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never
And we encourage you to come get prayer if you need to. How many are believing God for an awesome week? How many are believing God for a breakthrough week? How many are believing God for just an encouraging week? How many believe in God for a prayer week, a week of prayer, effective prayer? So I just want to encourage you. I'm circling back around to Daniel, where the angel said from the first day. For some people, this is your first day. And I'm really sensing that by the Spirit of God, that some of you here have just been discouraged in so many different areas. And I just really hear the Lord saying, this is your first day. And as soon as you pray, in about 30 seconds from now, things are going to start to happen. And you may not see it, but know there's stuff going on in the spiritual atmosphere. God is orchestrating things out for your good. He knows what plans he has for you. And he causes things to shift so that we can see his purpose in our life. Father, we right now thank you for this day, Lord God. Thank you for the opportunity for us to gather. Wherever two or three are gathered, there you are. Right now, here you're in our midst. So Spirit of God, let there be an encouragement to the people of God to see your hand move in a great way, Lord, to see answers to prayer, to see, Lord God, that you're causing breakthrough, Lord God, even when we don't see it. And Lord, this is the first day for many people in their lives, Father God. We thank you for financial breakthrough, for physical breakthrough, Lord God, for families, Lord God, for deliverances, Lord God, expectations to rise up, that you're a God who answers prayer. So right now, Lord, we commit it all to you. And the Lord says, I heard your word. I have come because of your words. And Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's give God praise just for a little while here this morning, that God is working. He's working, he's working, he's busy. He's gonna get it done in Jesus' name. Lord, let this week be a great week. Lord, tomorrow's gonna be an awesome day. Tuesday's gonna be better. Wednesday's gonna be, Lord, a breakthrough day, Lord God. We believe this week to be blessed. And we speak that in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Everybody go get signed up for a life group. Come get prayer. We'll see you next week. God bless.